Hi, welcome to Overexposed, a podcast by Pexels made by and for ambitious creatives. If you're new here, I am your host, Wendy, and on this week's episode, we are joined by Christy Lawrence, the extraordinary founder of an award-winning global social media suite, Plan, which helps millions of global brands find success online. Christy got her start in the marketing and advertising world, but after an unfortunate sickness that left her unable to continue working, she turned to posting and selling her illustrations on Instagram for income. That's when her entrepreneurial light bulb lit up and the idea of Plan was born. Christy's story is absolutely amazing, and in this episode, we talk about how she creatively navigated being in the tech space with no previous background, and how she started Plan from the ground up with barely any outside support. And if you're interested in trying out Plan for yourself, we have you covered. You can use the promo code PexelsXPlan20 to help you get started. Now, enough with this intro, and let's get into the episode. Thank you so much, Christy, for joining us today. I know it's super early in the morning and really excited to kind of dive into your story and how you created Plan.
Thanks so much for having me. I've been a big fan of Pexels for years, and we also integrate with your product and our product. So I'm really excited to get to talk to you as well.
Yeah, awesome. So I know your background is in marketing, but you're also an illustrator and obviously the founder of this award-winning social media suite. We know that Plan was completely bootstrapped, meaning you basically created the company out from the ground up with not much outside help, really, which is such a crazy accomplishment.
It is crazy. It was ridiculously optimistic is another way I like to put it.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to kind of get into all of that. And I know that Plan was kind of the silver lining to you, unfortunately, getting pretty sick. And I really want to kind of hear more of that story and how Plan really got started.
Wow. So let's go back 5 years ago, because Plan has been around for almost 5 years now. And I am still just as passionate to wake up at 7 a.m. and get to work as I was then. And so what was happening is, back in the day, I was in marketing. And I loved my job. It was very, very creative. And I was doing corporate advertising and making TV commercials. And then I learned that in corporate life, for me personally, my experience in corporate was that the further you climbed up the corporate ladder, the more removed you became from the actual day-to-day creative work. And I started to really miss it. So I would go home every night and I would paint and draw something. And it was right when Instagram was taking off, and there's this awesome creative, this entire community of people like me that just wanted to make things. And I started posting my work on Instagram. And I did that every night, probably for like 4 or 5 months. And then my marketing brain took over and went, all right, Christy, what's your brand? What's your purpose? What are you doing here? Are you trying to sell this stuff? And I thought, you know what? Why not? Why not try? So I was looking at my Instagram grid, and Instagram's such an interesting one, because it's not about putting your work out into the world and saying, buy it. That's not how Instagram works. Instagram works by telling a story. So who am I, and why do I like to paint and draw? And how can I drag and drop and visually design my brand so that it's cohesive? And on Instagram, it's so visual, and there was just nothing like it out there. So I kind of was having these thoughts in my mind of like, well, this would be a helpful tool. And that was kind of bubbling along. And then I was going to work, and like I said, I love my job. And I woke up one day and I just felt a little bit off. And the next day it got worse and worse. And what was happening is that I felt like I was spinning. Like I had massive vertigo. The world was spinning. My eyes were blurry. But it also felt like I was on a boat. So my whole equilibrium was gone. And I couldn't work out what was going on. So I had multiple doctor's appointments and brain scans, and found that I had this condition where the flu virus had gone into my brain.
Wow.
And it had caused all my vestibular function, which is your spatial imbalance, to just disappear. And I was like, just kind of left in shock. It's like, does this even happen? Is this even a real thing? And it really does happen. And the doctors all told me that when you're diagnosed with that, you never really make a full recovery. So I almost felt like my life was over. I was lying on the ground trying to teach my body how to balance again and drawing. And I unfortunately had to leave my job because it wasn't safe for me to be on TV sets. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't cope basically with what was going on in my head and my day job. And that's really where this idea was like, well, I need something to keep myself busy. I'm a go-getter. I like doing things. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so sick at home, with no job, was like, I'm going to do it. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy how like just one thing can kind of like turn your entire world upside down. When you found out about that, what was your like initial reaction? And like, what did you think was going to happen versus like what you actually kind of went forward and did?
Honestly, it's worlds apart from what's actually happened. So when I was thinking about the idea for Plan, I was thinking to myself, okay, I need a way to subsidize my income. Mm-hmm. I'm creative. I can sell my artwork. And I had actually started selling more artwork. I was making more money with my artwork than my advertising jobs. It was working, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people on Instagram, they'll make a private grid, or they'll make a second grid, or they'll use snap guards on Photoshop. And back then, that's what people were doing to try and design. So in my head, I was like, well, you know, maybe I know people wouldn't need this because it's a pain and you do have to design your grid manually. But I never expected it to have the popularity. So at home, when I'm saying to my husband, hey, I'm going to build an app. And he goes, but don't you need to know how to build an app? And I said, well, aren't there 2 million? It can't be that hard. And I have a giggle about my naive Christy self now. But what I thought back then was, you know, look, I'm just going to make a side business and a project that I can work on and help some other people around the world be successful building their brands and focus on getting better. Mm-hmm. And that's genuinely what I thought that I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally remember like 5 or 6 years ago when like people would make like separate accounts. I made it like private and just to like see and like delete and like post certain things. And I remember that used to be the only way to do things.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I was like, I can solve that. Mm-hmm.
At the time, was there any kind of similar products out there as Plan, or was this were you one of like kind of like the first ones that went into this?
One of the first. At the time when I was coming up with the idea, it wasn't. And because I was quite unwell, and an app like Plan, I mean, that's an $100,000 investment, right? So I didn't have that type of cash in that in the beginning. So no, there wasn't an app at the time. But when we did launch, I think it started to kind of, it happened. But I honestly thought I was just going to make a drag and drop grid. And that's where I thought Plan would end. Mm-hmm. And so now when you look at Plan, where we started on app, we've now got Android, we're now on desktop, we've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, we integrate with Canva, we integrate with Pixels. Like, it's a massive thing. We've got hundreds of thousands of people across the world. Last week, we actually hit out over 220 countries using the product. So a little celebration for that. And so, yeah, it's just mind-blowing where it was to where it is now.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In the span of, like, what, just like almost 5 years and being able to expand to
almost
that.
5 years. Yeah. And you're right. It's completely bootstrapped. So we rely heavily. What that means is that most tech companies take external funding because it costs, like, to have the idea and then to create it and run a tech business with a team, we're talking millions of dollars. And so it's very crazy for most people to work out that we have been completely customer funded. But I like to say we're customer funded rather than bootstrapped, because it really tells the story of how focused we have to be on our people and what they need. Because social media is hard. It's overwhelming. Some people really hate it. So our mission is to make it fun again and to make it easy. We're so busy doing that it's working, and we haven't had to take any outside funding.
Yeah, that's incredible, of being able to make something from like virtually from like nothing in the ground up.
That's an idea in my head. It's so crazy. It's like, you know, when your parents say to you, you know, like, get a real job, or, you know, creative don't pay or anything like that. I'm just so excited that I have the most creative job on the planet, and I love what I do so much. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. And I know for creatives, sometimes we have like so many different ideas, and like, it's really hard to kind of find out where to start. What was the first step when you had this idea for Plan and then you're like, okay, I'm going to do it? What was your first step in kind of figuring that out? Because there's so many different steps that you could take. It gets overwhelming.
I think that the funny thing for me was that it didn't go from drawing on Instagram to I'm going to build an app. Like, there was actually quite a few like micro steps in there that, had I not continued to put my work on Instagram, then those steps would never have happened. So as an example, as I started to really work out a brand and an aesthetic and tell a story, I worked out that quite early. My followers started growing and I started making sales, and people started asking me, how are you doing this? And so I started consulting. So not only was I then growing my illustration business, I was then consulting on top. And I was like, okay, well, and was making, you know, a good amount of money doing both. And then I thought to myself, I'm starting to repeat myself a lot. Like, don't put a flat lay next to a flat lay. Don't put a wide lens next to a wide lens. Like, mix up the perspectives. And I was like, I'm really repeating myself here. And anyone entrepreneurial will know that they have this light bulb, like, oh, there's got to be a better way moment. And in those consulting moments, so I'm removing myself from the illustration piece now. I'm now consulting for social media. These light bulb moments are happening. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to build an app. How do you build an app? So I downloaded all of my favorite apps and I worked out what I liked and didn't like about them. So that was my step one, was what do I like, what do I not like? And then the true creative that I am, I jump on Pinterest and make a mood board about what my brand's going to be like. And then I start wireframing an app and I'm like, okay, what does wireframe mean? And I'm watching YouTube videos until my eyes are bleeding, basically, in the middle of the night. And then I jumped on Upwork or any of the freelancing sites. And I think as an entrepreneur, one of the things that I learned super early was you don't want to hold your ideas to your chest, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter if you have an idea. It's all about the execution. Right. And no one's going to do it the same way as you. And no one's going to be passionate about certain things the same way as you are. So I'm hyper-focused on visual and things that look good and minimal and clean, which is very representative. If you look at Plan and any of our products or our website, it's very clean but quite minimal. And that's what I focus on, mm-hmm. my personal passion, obviously, of illustrating coming through. And then I jumped on like a Upwork and I sent these wireframes to about 10 different app agencies around the world. So some that had worked in small shops, some that had worked in big shops, because I'm a firm believer that even if you're small, you've still got your own life experiences and different lens to big mm-hmm. agencies. So I scattergunned my wireframe, which was like three screens with arrows. It's like, how much would it cost to build this app? And all of them responded pretty much were like, this isn't a wireframe. It is missing so much information. I was like, great, what's it missing? And they started teaching me what was missing in these wireframes. So after getting all the information back, I was then able to properly wireframe it out, which is basically drawing screens of an app with designs that say this button goes here and this button goes here and this action does here and here's an error message. So it's quite more detailed than just, okay, hold an image and drag and drop here, like from what I thought it was. And when I got all the quotes back after my final scope, I was basically told it was between $50,000 and $100,000 wow. for the app. And I just a no, like, well, you know, like, what can I do? And I'm a real person that when I put my mind to something, it is going to happen. So I hustled around Sydney here where I live and I asked as many web and app agencies as I could find, can I do the marketing for your business and your client's business? I'll take it all on. You teach me how to become a CTO and build my product as my payment. And I had one company say yes. And that's how I built my MVP, which is the minimum viable product. So that's what you put out into the world to say, would you buy it? Well, you need to do user research to work out first if people will buy it. And I knew that. People were telling me, this is a real problem and I hate it. I'll pay you a couple of bucks to take it away. So when I put it out into the world that first week, I think I made like $10,000 in my first week. And I was like, holy moly. But I'd had almost a year of pre-launch marketing. I'd been telling people that this was coming. I had a website built, that like a landing page built, like very, very on the fly. And once that kind of came in, I felt really validated, and it was enough money to put a deposit down on my own development team. And in true tech form, if you learn in tech very quickly that things have to be rebuilt and redone in the tech language behind the scenes all the time. And my MVP wasn't really built to scale to the level that I was seeing. I was already past my expectations and I had to rebuild it like the first week of launch. So all that money went towards rebuilding the product again. So that's how Plan got started.
Yeah.
Mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you made some really amazing points there. Like, I didn't know that you had like that buffer period of like consulting, and it's such an important point because like, I think I heard this quote where it's like, if you have to repeat something twice, that you have to turn it into content. So I think the beauty of like the entrepreneurial mindset is being able to kind of find those like loopholes and like kind of tune into that rather than being like, oh, this is happening and like move on. Where it's like, okay, like something's going on here, let me investigate.
So true.
Yeah, I know you came from a family of entrepreneurs. For someone who is kind of like learning about entrepreneurship and wanting to do their own thing for the first time, how do you think someone can kind of figure out that like entrepreneurial mindset and get into that habit of like, oh, like this is a problem, like let me find a solution to it?
That's a great question. I have actually questioned myself with this a lot. Like, are you born with this mindset? Are you born with it? Like, and I personally, I still don't know. And I'd love your opinion on this as well. Because in my family, my mum and dad both had multiple businesses. My siblings, there's four of us, we all have our own businesses. Wow. So in my life, all I know is this. I don't know the life of going to work, clocking in, clocking out. Like, I don't know that lifestyle. The lifestyle I know is you wake up early, you hustle, you get it. Like, I mean, hustle's probably the worst word, but you work really hard. You work really hard, very strategic on the right, focusing on the right things. I mean, I know it sounds like this is my first rodeo, but like, when I was 10, I was going to the school next door and taking the grapefruit and putting them in a bag and selling them outside my house so I could earn extra money, I think, to buy like a Tamagotchi. So I was always coming up with different things. In the early days, while I was still kind of working normal jobs, I was doing SEO courses. I taught myself how to code websites. I was doing photography shoots. Like, you name it, I was trying to make money on the side. So personally, it was always in me, but I think that you can spot the traits of those people. I think it's curiosity, always wanting to learn and not afraid to look stupid. And I think for me, those are the three things, traits that I've noticed in entrepreneurs, because if you can't ask, there's so many people that are so smart, they're so smart and so much smarter than me. And I literally will say to them, hey, I really love that insight that you gave in that direction, but I didn't really understand it. Can you explain it to me as if I'm five? Mm-hmm. And I ask them to really dumb it down, and then I never forget it. Mm-hmm. So I think those for me are the three traits that someone has as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, for sure. And there's that conversation of like nature versus nurture, like in like talent versus hard work. Are you like born into it, or is it something that you can learn? But I think the beauty of like being a creative and like even just being a human being is that our brains are so flexible. And like, if you really want to learn something, it comes down to like that discipline and honestly, like practice. Like, for someone outside, they might think, oh, like Christy created this amazing app that did so well from the very beginning. But if you really like look into it, you've always kind of had those like practice moments where it's like, let me try this. And even though if it wasn't like a full business, like even selling lemonade is an entrepreneurial venture for like a dollar a cup or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a really great point. And I think as a creative, the hardest thing for me was the discipline, because you know what it's like, your mind's in 100 different places. You're like, okay, do I do this or can I do that? And I think for me, what I learned was I just needed to focus on one thing. And I remember in the early days, I tried to add on a second service to Plan. And that was just to get some extra money so I could pay for more developers, so I could build my product bigger. And it just, the fact that I then split my focus 50-50, it started ruining both. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I don't know if I read it or I just saw it somewhere. It's a very popular quote, and it's, you can do everything you want, just not right now. Mm-hmm. Or just, it's something like, you can do everything you want, just not all at once. So I was like, all right, I've got all the time in the world, really. Let's just pace myself. I'm going to give my time and energy to this. And then I'm going to do all my sculptures and a fine art degree when I'm older. That's my next thing. I'd love to like learn how to do sculptures, and I play music, I play the piano, I'm also learning how to play the space drum, but like I just, the level of intensity, I can only pick one product or one place, and that my home for that is Plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And like, especially for creatives and running a business, there sometimes can be like that pulling of like both sides, because business, it's always like you focus on like money and like the numbers and the analytics and stuff like that. Whereas being a creative, you really want to kind of like test things out and try different new ideas. For you, how do you balance like the technical aspects of running like a profitable and sustainable business without losing that creative drive that you've always had?
The craziest thing is that I always wanted a creative job, and when I looked at tech, I just didn't see it as creative. But holy, like, it is the most creative job that I've ever had in my life. So as an example, I never know what I'm going to get every day. And one of the beauties of that is when social media changes overnight, and because I live in Australia, their announcements are always at 3 a.m., which is wonderful. So I never know on any day, I might need to wake up and design whole new screens for the product, write blog posts, I need to create new photography. So that whole artwork side has never gone away. Mm-hmm. And every time we create a new feature inside the product, we design all of that ourselves. So we're looking at it from a design. So that idea and analytical thinking all happens in one place. Mm-hmm. But then when I think about, so for me now, right, like I'm not the social media manager in the team. I'm barely part of the marketing team anymore after 5 years. We have such a talented team that my job now is more responsible for what's happening with the product, leading the developer team, and scaling the business and growth. So that's kind of where I sit now after, 5 years is a long time. And the creativity for me is like, okay, so how do I structure this team? What processes can I design? Like as an example, how do I make people feel special? How do I make people that, you know, are VIPs of Plan, what can we do to make them feel special? And that's creative in itself, coming up with the name. What content do they get? What are we going to give them? And I handwrote 50 cards last night to little kids, like cute thank you cards. And inside of those, I actually, for me personally, because I love the creative side, I have bought feathers and I paint them with glitter personally and I put them in the cards. So like there's just so many ways that I can find creativity and craft and put it in my business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great mindset to have, that sometimes like not choosing one or the other or finding ways to kind of incorporate both of them together.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. Like I literally wake up and I feel like I am in the luckiest job in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know you mentioned that with social media, things move at like such a fast pace. And like as a social media manager, like I remember having a conversation with like our community group and I was like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. Like, is this going to work? And his advice to me was like the algorithm could change the next day. So just try it out and see how it goes. As like a tool for social media, how do you keep up with like forecasting these trends and kind of anticipating them and adapting as they come?
I think this sounds crazy, but this is an easy one for me. And that's because humans don't change and human psychology doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So if you dive into marketing and I did that for a long time, that was a core part of my career, but I also hoard hobbies and one of them is psychology.
Oh, me too. That's amazing.
Yeah. And when you understand the human and how humans relate to other people and relate to content, that doesn't change, but the execution can change. Mm-hmm. So the memes right now are super popular because people are looking to be entertained, right? You're online because you want to be entertained, inspired, or educated. Mm-hmm. And so that hasn't changed. It's just the way it's executed has changed. But the core of the content is still the same. Mm-hmm. So when I think about people saying, oh, the algorithm's changed, I'm like, well, just make sure that your content's relatable or make sure that your content is teaching someone something in a way they can easily digest it, meet it where they are. So you might not put on our platform, we would suggest the post that you put on Instagram, you wouldn't automatically put over on LinkedIn, right? Because it's a different audience. But the content, the core remains the same. And when Instagram say, hey, we're changing the algorithm, it's actually documentation. They haven't changed the algorithm at all, but they favor certain things sometimes. So they might favor Reels or they might favor Instagram TV. But at the core of it is, are people engaging with it? Do people think that it's worth sharing? Do people tag their friends in it? Are people having a good conversation? And I personally don't think that's changed. Mm-hmm.
That's such an amazing point, because like I know like for people who like work in social media or like visual artists who are showcasing their work, it's so easy to kind of get caught up in like the nitty gritty of like when the algorithm changes. Or I remember for a period of time as a photographer myself, we'd try like these little engagement pods where like everyone would get into a group and like comment on each other's photos, and that worked for maybe like a month or two before like Instagram completely changed that again. But it's about kind of looking deeper than that, like you mentioned, into like how humans actually work, because yeah, like it takes, I don't know how many hundreds of years for like humans to evolve, but it's just the kind of like the tool that gets them there that
So I think that where things feel different there is that the algorithm versus organic reach. Mm-hmm. I think those two things are slightly different. And organic reach on an organic platform will always come down the more people that join it, because you've got more competition, mm-hmm. and more eyeballs. And on Instagram, I think I read some crazy stat that you get 15 people a second joining Instagram, right? The world's so big. Mm-hmm. So as time goes on any of the platforms, and you're, I mean, we've all heard it on Facebook that organic reach is dead or is dying. Yeah. And, you know, you hear all that, but like, look how many people are on the platform. So I don't think it's that. I think it's more that you've got more competition, so your content has to be progressively getting better. Mm-hmm. And I think the way for me that we work on that is we look at, well, inside plan, we've got analytics, so we can see exactly what's working. We can see what's not working. And we even drill down to best performing color schemes. So you can actually see, you know, maybe it's that we're being, those deep, dark oranges are not working. And maybe it's that bright white that it's just, again, it's that creative, but also adding that analytical, because without marketing, without numbers, you're not learning. Without learning, you're not growing. Mm-hmm. So if you're creating, that's wonderful, and I love you for it, but you also need to do the learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point, especially for creative entrepreneurs. It's like one thing to kind of be an artist, but it's another thing to be a business owner and being able to kind of look out for these things instead of like staying stagnant.
And I think because I wanted to put my marketing brain into the product as well. So we have this amazing tool. We call it the strategy tool. And what it means is that you can create the themes that you want to tell in your marketing story. And you can create like these beautiful placeholders and color code them so that you know exactly what you're going to post. And then once you've posted them, you can see what you were posting to see if it worked well or not. And so we actually already pre-populate inspiration, education, behind the scenes. We actually list them out and say, go for it, guys. Like, use what we know and make your own one or customize them. So I personally consider myself a roller skating micro influencer. So I've got, like, roller skating is one of my custom. And then if you get stuck inside plan, we have these content prompts where you're like, oh my God, just tell me what I need to do. Like, I just can't figure it out. So we have this button called content prompts. You can type in your industry or if you want to host a giveaway or Valentine's Day, and we literally give you the prompts of what you need to do to post. And you can mix and match them at any point. It's just like, we just never wanted someone to land in our product and go, oh my God, I have no idea what mm-hmm. I'm doing. That has been my goal.
Yeah. And that's a lifesaver for like small business owners and entrepreneurs, because they're doing everything from like the bookkeeping to like the, like partnerships and keeping up with marketing and everything, and having these things that can kind of help you along only makes their lives easier. Cause I know how hard it is to kind of switch from an analytical brain to kind of like a creative brain. And it's so amazing.
But honestly, having you guys along for the ride with us has helped our people so much as well. So during COVID, there's a lot of people that couldn't go out and do photo shoots. So there's people stuck at home and they're like, well, I've got kids running around. How am I meant to photo shoot? So it was so good to join forces with you guys. So, and what that looks like inside plan is that if you're out of content, you have no idea what to do, you can literally click on pixels, search for a term, Christmas, holidays. We did a cool Christmas collaboration with pixels earlier in the year. And you can literally pull straight from pixels with these beautiful royalty-free content that you don't have to pay to use and pull it straight into your social workflow. And it's like, bang, bang, dung, pour a hot coffee, buy that shirt on the other tab that you've been looking at for ages. You've saved all the time. It's so good.
Yeah, it's such a great partnership, because in that case, like the like entrepreneurs and like people who are doing it all on their own, it's just one kind of less thing for them to think about. And yeah, like with photo shoots now, it's been almost like completely halted, at least like here in North America. So having that would, like, I imagine, would be really helpful for these entrepreneurs during these times.
And thank you guys also. We've had so much fun building and getting to know your team too.
Yeah, that's amazing. Another thing about being an entrepreneur of kind of any sort is that it can be high risk and high reward. And it's so incredible that you guys saw success almost like instantly, basically, when you started. What do you think really drew people to plan, like right after you launched it? You mentioned like you made $10,000 within the first week, which is like so crazy, especially just being like profitable as a like a new business.
I use the term overnight success very loosely because in a tech business, $10,000 probably wouldn't even cover one day's worth of costs. It's crazy time. But that was a 10-month pre-launch marketing campaign of doing email marketing, a website building a social media following. So I'm just not going to pretend to anyone that this was an overnight success. Sure. And there was a lot of steps in there. When I first launched, honestly, I built a personal brand first. So my personal brand, I was the face of Plan from the very beginning, and I signed all the emails off as Christy. I spent a lot of time building the look and feel and how I wanted people to feel when they came and used Plan. So the brand, I think the brand for us was the business, because when you look at when you're choosing different products, the brand feeling isn't what happens when you look at it or when you use it. The brand is the feeling after you've had the interaction. Mm-hmm. So how do people feel after they've interacted with Plan? Do they feel relief? Do they feel happy? Like, that was the sensation that I was trying to build. And I know that sounds crazy because I'm a marketer and it's like, oh, she's talking marketing. But have a think about how people feel after an interaction with you. Mm-hmm. And then I built that personal brand up. So I wanted people to trust me, that I knew what I was talking about. I could get results and I could make it look really good while we were having a good time. Mm-hmm. And those were the things that I built into Plan. And it is still to this day why our brand is one of the top leading social media experts. That feeling of, we say it internally. We say, imagine you're having a cocktail on a rooftop in New York with your best friend, and there's fairy lights and there's beautiful trees around, and you're wearing a cute little dress after work, and someone turns to you and says, hey, like, I'm just having a bit of trouble growing my Instagram feed. Can you help me? And it's that friendship and that camaraderie and that, like, not being afraid to ask questions from someone approachable that's not going to lecture you or give you teacher vibes. It's just like, hey, like, let's have a conversation. And that's the feeling that Plan gives you. Mm-hmm. Gives me goosebumps, but that's the feeling that Plan gives people. And I think that is what drew the lightheartedness, the fun, but still learning and being inspired. And that brand that has been built and consistent. And that's across, you'll see it, that same feeling in our blogs, in our app store update notes, in our customer support, in our help desk articles, across our socials. We're educational, but we're still a little bit quirky and very lighthearted. We're not a corporate, and it's very clear that we're just one of you and we just want to help.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, like, that the brand is more than just kind of the color scheme and the logo, which a lot of people kind of think it stops there. Once you have that, you have a brand, but it's really like, who's behind it and what it stands for. And especially with everything that's happened in the past year, I think people are definitely more drawn to, like, who's behind the brand and what they stand for, rather than just like the surface level of things.
And when you're an obsessed founder and you're checking everything.
Yeah. And like, with the highs, there's obviously like some lows in an entrepreneurial journey. Was there a point or a challenge that happened throughout the whole Plan journey that that really challenged you? And how did you kind of overcome that?
My biggest challenge is that I didn't come from a technical background, and I won't pretend that it was easy, because it wasn't. The biggest mistakes that I made was that when you build a tech business and your business is in tech, but you don't understand how tech works, that's a real problem. So it was a very fast learning curve with lots of mistakes of how to actually do that. So, for example, how do you hire a CTO or chief of like the head of tech when you don't know how to do it yourself? How do you know they're any good? Or how do you hire developers if you don't even know what they do? And I remember being so naive at the beginning that I thought a developer just does developer things. And I thought that they were all one thing, and I had to literally read books and articles and talk to people about, you know, is what does a front-end developer do versus what does a back-end developer do? And an app developer, they're different between languages and iOS and Android. So the learning curve in there were a lot of mistakes. And I have to say, we let a couple of people down in the beginning because of the mistakes and that knowledge that I was still just couldn't learn fast enough. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of mistakes there, and unfortunately they do happen. There's a big one with, you know, how do you structure an architecture for tech? I mean, who knows? So I had to go to Amazon Web Server, who we now use, and ask them, can you teach me? And they were so good. They were like, sure. So I was so grateful. They literally gave me an hour of a couple of their time, and they would draw on the board, this is what this product does, this is how this works. And they were just so, I'm just so grateful. But I mean, and at that point, it's because I'd made a couple of mistakes. I was like, guys, I just need your help. But I think, like, being able to say that I needed help was the biggest step to learning.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like the common theme that I've heard throughout your story is not being afraid to ask for help. And if, like, usually, like, from like the person who's asking's perspective, it's obviously might be a little, you feel like a little bit embarrassed or you don't know if it's a stupid question. But for the most part, if you're asking for help, the person who's getting asked, they'll feel like flattered and being like, wow, someone really wants to learn from me. And I think it's that, like, getting over that ego and being like, I need help. How do I do it? And that can save you like so much, like rather than maybe like trying to do it yourself. But I think there's like definitely benefits to both of trial and error and also kind of being able to ask for that.
I'm not going to lie, there was humiliation involved. Right. And again, you're absolutely right that the ego part and having the human psychology and just looking at yourself going, what are the blocks that you're putting in front of yourself that you are causing for yourself? And how do you get past that? So I think for me over the last 5 years, my self-awareness is increased tenfold. And I'm like, Christy, why did you do that? Or Christy, why is that making you angry? Or because under anger is always fear. Yeah. So trying to understand myself and how I operate has actually helped me just expand the business, because otherwise I was just going to get in my own way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really swallowing that ego. And that's the only way you're kind of able to grow and learn in the long run. Yeah. So what would be your advice to other like aspiring creative entrepreneurs who maybe want to do similar to what you did, who are kind of exploding with ideas, but have maybe don't have the technical background or don't know really where to start?
The internet is a wonderful, wonderful place. You can learn anything. I'm not kidding you. Anything on the internet. I have learned how to build an entire tech business on the internet, including connecting with mentors from Silicon Valley that I would never have access to here in Australia. YouTube has been a godsend. You can teach yourself anything. I think the discipline for creatives is probably the hardest part of like, okay, I have all of these ideas, but I would just say focus on one and let it evolve and just see where it goes, because you don't know who you're going to meet along the way and you don't know how that's going to evolve. If I had said to you 5 years ago, hey, I'm just going to start selling some fashion illustrations on Instagram for a bit, there is no way in the world that I would have guessed that I would have gone from that and just followed my heart and my gut through all of the steps. And now I have a team in 10 countries. We help 2.5 million brands across the world, and I get to build the most amazing product with the most amazing team. And I travel the world teaching people how to do social media, and I can roller skate at Venice Beach. Work expense, like there's just no way. So it's just get started, keep going. A lot of people, you know, they don't get results in a couple of weeks and give up. Mm-hmm. Like this is 5 years.
Yeah.
Right. I've been 5 years into this one idea. So it's just that I think this is leading me to somewhere else as well, that once you have an idea and it starts waking you up at night, or it's something that you're so passionate to talk about all day, every day, because if you wake up as a creative and think, I just need to make money, or I want a business to make money, it's never going to work. Your heart's not going to be in it, and it's going to show. So literally for 5 years, I wake up from like between 4 and 7 a.m. Wow. to 11 at night, and I have to be able to talk about plan until I'm blue in the face because I love it. And if I had done this for 5 years and I couldn't do this, the business wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I think like you're going to find very quickly if it's something that you can talk about all day, every day without being bored.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's kind of not ignoring that and just having that confidence and the even the bravery to go after and being like, let me try this. And in the end, if it fails, then yeah. And then if it fails, at least you know you tried, rather than kind of constantly having that and regretting not trying.
Exactly.
And just wrapping up, are there any upcoming projects that you're working on that you're super excited about coming up?
There are. There's one that we're actually working with Pixels, and which is a takeover where my social media, Greta Rose, we're going to be doing a live with the Pixels community. So if you're a photographer or if you are in the creative services and not sure how to actually do a planning, like how to use a scheduling tool, how to tell a story, we're going to be doing that live together. So that's something that I'm actually really excited about, because creatives don't usually get access to one-on-one mentorship. So super excited about that. And then inside our product, we have a roadmap that is so long with so many features that we want to build out. We're always adding to those content prompts that are teaching people and giving them ideas of what to post about. So that's something that's really exciting people inside the plan community. So more of that. And we are about, I don't know when this podcast is going to be published, But I'm hoping that once it is, we're just about finishing up being able to auto-post the first comment. So if you want to keep your captions cleaner, then you can pop all your hashtags in the first comment. So we're just a couple of weeks away from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super excited for the takeover as well. I had a chat with Karina and Greta, and it'll be amazing. We've been, even at Pexels, we really, really love doing local community events and getting people together and just talking about like photography and creativity. And now that maybe that's not possible for the next little bit, it's amazing being able to have the tools to do it online and do it with Plan, because I think this the photographers from Pexels and the creators on Plan will really benefit from learning from you guys and what you've learned throughout this whole journey.
And I believe you guys also have a promo code for your audience. So if you are looking to get started or want to get involved and you're worried about price point, Pexels have their own promotional code, so you can get a discount from them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was going to do that shameless plug at the end, but I'm glad you did it for me.
Best founder, here I am.
Yeah. And finally, where can we find you online and connect with you in Plan?
So on Plan, it's at Plan That, so with the double N, that, and the same on our blog. We publish 2 or 3 articles every single week that keep you up to date with social media trends or how to really explore your social media game across all platforms. We're big fans of helping you diversify so that all of your eggs aren't in the one Instagram basket. And if you can't be bothered looking at our blog, which is fine, just sign up for the email list. We'll blast you with our most popular blogs anyway with any new feature releases. And then me personally, I spend a lot of time on my own personal Instagram, which is at Christy Lady Lawrence, and on LinkedIn. So obviously a little bit more removed from the social side, but very obsessed with business and the overlap of the magic overlap of business, tech, and social. Mm-hmm. So you can find me. Usually lurking news. Usually lurking.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Christy, again, for lending your time and expertise. It's so amazing hearing about how you started Plan from like virtually nothing and what's been going on the last 5 years to make it happen. It was truly a lot of hard work, and it's definitely paid off. And I'm so glad we were able to chat. If you've made it this far, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to Overexposed. As a token of my appreciation, I'll be offering a free 20-minute phone call to talk about your creative goals and how we can get you there. Just shoot me an email at wendy@pexels.com or send us a DM at Pexels on Instagram. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. And finally, don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would also love it. Until next time, I'm Wendy, and it's been a pleasure to share this time with you.